I want to start off by saying I'm so proud of you, so excited that you came to the porn session, because I know walking through those doors is a little awkward. You're like, who's going to see me? I hope nobody sees me coming to this session, right? But here's the thing. We're going to make it not awkward. We're going to talk real. We're going to just explore a lot of different things, and really two parts. We're going to talk about porn and why it's so harmful and what it actually is. And then we're going to talk about solutions and how we can actually help ourselves deal with this pandemic of pornography. Because here's the thing. Since the pandemic, pornography rates have gone way, way up, right? A lot of people had time at home, a lot of free time, and weren't out with their friends. And, you know, you were there. And so porn is a huge issue. So thank you for coming. Thank you. I hope you bring all your friends and tell them all about it. But let's start off with like a little kind of guessing game, all right? Here we go. Of all the websites on the internet, guess how many are pornographic? What percentage? 75? 25? It's in between those two. 60? It's a little lower than that. 50? Lower. It is 30%. Now, if you think about all the websites out there, that's pretty crazy. You know, one-third of the internet has porn on it, all right? What about this one? How much money is spent every second on porn? Every second. I heard a lot of numbers. I'm just going to tell you. It's $3,000. All right? You're thinking, that's not that much. But let's do some math, all right? A minute, that's $180,000. An hour, that's $11 million. A day, that's $260 million. And a year, that's $10 billion. All right? If you look at this, Netflix only makes $1.6 billion, Amazon makes $10 billion, and pornography matches that. That's pretty crazy how much money is spent on porn every year, right? Pretty big thing. What about this one? What's the average age a child first views porn? 14, 12, 8, 10? You're pretty close. The average is 11, which is pretty scary. Because some of it is at 8 or less, some's more, but 11. And here's the thing with porn, is that it's very visual, and visual images stick in your brain, and you see them for years to come, right? It takes a long time for that to be erased. So for kids that are very impressionable, that can be very detrimental to their growing up and their adolescent development. What about this? How many Americans are regular visitors to porn sites? We have roughly 330 million people in our country. Any guesses? Not all of them. Regular visitors, meaning more than a couple times a week, right? It is 40 million. 40 million, right? Now, here's other stats. Most people think this is just a guy issue. It's not. Women struggle, too. 1 in 3 viewers are women, all right? I've had students before I teach at the university, like you said, and girls before come when we say, hey, are you struggling with anything? Because as we send them out to go to churches and ministries, we want to know what they're wrestling with so we can help them, right? And oftentimes girls will even say, yeah, I struggle with that too. And so we'll send them to the counselor and say, you need to talk to somebody about this because this is important to work on in your life, right? And then again, 70% of men age 18 to 24 visit sites in a typical month. So that's pretty big there too. Here's my last one of this. What's the least popular day of the year, all 365 days, to watch porn? Valentine's Day is not Valentine's Day. Christmas, it's not Christmas. Halloween, not Halloween. 4th of July, nope. Mother's Day, nope. I heard it over here. It is Thanksgiving. Now, I don't have any solid research on why, but I have some guesses. Here's my guesses. I got two guesses. Number one, nobody wants to look at porn while grandma's in the next room, right? That's kind of weird, right? Number two, and this one's probably more important, is that most of the time in Thanksgiving, you're surrounded by family, relationships, doing, right, having good conversations or watching football, playing football, whatever it might be. And when we are most fulfilled relationally with our families and our friends, we have less desire to look at porn, right? Porn's often a cheap alternative to relationships, and we're looking for something, you know, we're longing for that relationship connection. And so we don't need that as much on Thanksgiving because we have that. And so the more we can have those relationships, the more we can fulfill those with real relationships, the better. Now, here's another one. What day of the week? Oh, wait, sorry. What day of the week is most popular for you in porn? Sunday, yeah. Which is pretty crazy, right? You would think Friday or Saturday, right? But no, it's actually Sunday. And again, I don't have any solid research, but my guess is two things. Satan likes to work, and people are going to church on Sunday, and Satan likes to work and do his thing, especially with Christians, right? Number two, Sunday is usually the time when you have the most downtime, right? And when you have the most downtime, your mind wanders, you're thinking about other things, right? You're not as distracted, and so therefore, it goes to viewing porn, right? So yeah, that's kind of scary. I've known a lot of church workers that deal with this, and a lot of, you know, kind of that, you're so busy in the morning, and you come down, you feel like this, like, almost this, you deserved it in a way, or it's just this release, and so yeah, it's kind of scary. So, and then this is crazy. I saw this is 2019. Yeah. It's good for the U.S. to be number one, but not in this, right? U.S. more than doubles the second country of porn viewership, which is pretty crazy, right? So U.S., Japan, U.K., Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Philippines, we'll talk about them in just a second because that's a really small country, but big per capita looking at porn. So pretty crazy that the U.S. is leading in that area. We've got an issue in our country. And we've got to do something about it, right? We got to do something about it. So what exactly is pornography? You may be asking. I'm going to give you the kind of the biblical definition. It comes from a Greek word from the Bible, actually, pornania. This word actually happens 55 times in the New Testament, and it literally means selling off, a surrendering of sexual purity, promiscuity of every type, right? So some of the words you might see in English language in your Bibles are fornication or sexual immorality, prostitute, idolatry, because sex can become an idol to you in your life, but pornania. And so therefore we get pornography from our English language there. So that's really what it is. It's a cheapening of God's gift of sexuality. Sex is good, right? Because God made sex, and everything God made, you learned today, is good, right? And he said it's very good when human beings, but sometimes we mess up the good things God gives us. And that's what porn is. It's a cheapening. It's a messing up of that gift of God. And so here's kind of my illustration with this, right? I love burgers, hamburgers. We talked about those last night, right? You ever had these little candy hamburgers? Yeah, they're kind of gross, right? If you were really, really hungry and you ate one of these candy hamburgers, would you be satisfied and fulfilled? Probably not. Maybe for a couple seconds, maybe for a minute or two, but eventually you'd be hungry, the sugar high and rush would wear off, and it would not satisfy or give you enough nutrients, right? So maybe a better thing might be a real In-N-Out hamburger, my favorite, right? Any In-N-Out fans? We talked about that? No. Man. Or Whataburger, we're in Texas. Yeah, there you go. All right. Yeah. I actually had these before last night, and I'm like, dude, he's stealing my thing. I don't have Culver's, but that's weird. Who? I'm sorry. So, here's my question for you to think about. Is porn really so harmful? Most people, you know, when I talk to them, they say, it's not really that harmful. It's not affecting another person. It's just between me, you know, and myself. It's probably not that big a deal, right? I can still be a virgin and look at porn and all of this stuff, but I want to show you some things, right? Here's why it's harmful, right? It's very accessible. You can get porn right now if you wanted to. Don't do it, but you could on your phone in 5 seconds or less, right? So accessible. A 7 or 8 year old could get porn. Very accessible, right? It's anonymous. You could be in the next room. Nobody has to know. And it is anonymous, right? It's also a big thing with, because a lot of sins are public, this is a very private sin that most people don't know about. So it's the one people probably struggle with the most in their lives, right? It's very affordable. You can get it for free, right? And then lastly, it's very addictive. And I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this because most people don't realize how addictive pornography actually is. It's a drug. It's been on the same level as, you know, crack or heroin or any of that, right, with your brain science and how it affects you and how addictive it can be. So what's cool is porn was featured in Time magazine a couple years ago. And, you know, mainstream people thinking, oh, this is good for you. You've probably heard that. You've seen websites or BuzzFeed or whatever where they say, yeah, this is why it's healthy for you. But Time actually came out with an article tracking guys throughout their life who have been engaged in porn and saw the detriment and the effects of it in their life, right? They had weaker relationships. They were more abusive, a lot of different things. We'll talk more about that in a second. But they actually saw, you know, this comes from a non-Christian perspective, that porn was harmful. It was harmful. Here's a great book, too. I require this in one of my classes. It's called Hooked, and it's all about the brain science between sexuality and how, you know, why it doesn't hurt when you get a breakup. A lot of that's due to your brain, because it's breaking that apart. Why does God say we become one flesh when we have sex? Because it's part of that combining, right? It's part of that hookedness that he gives us, that he wants us to have that connection with that other person. And so I recommend this book. Leaders especially, grab this book. I have students that use this later on and do Bible studies on this. It's a great book. So here's really what I want to talk about with the addictive nature is that it's in your brain. It first starts in your brain. Sex always starts in your brain first. It's the biggest sex organ, right? You might think other body parts are. Nope. Your brain's your biggest sex organ. And it's all about the neurons and all about the connections in your brain. And I'll show you a little video here. Check this out. It's about 3 minutes long.
Sexual tastes vary from person to person, but with the current pornography epidemic, as some call it, one has to wonder how exactly this may affect our desires and perception of sexuality. Moreover, how does it affect our sex lives? Pornography constitutes about 25% of all search engine requests and is the fourth most common reason people give for going on the internet. And while it may seem to simply facilitate an instinctual sexual response linked to millions of years of evolution, the truth is, pornography has dynamically changed over time, ultimately molding our tastes and desires. The not-so-shocking truth is that pornography has profound consequences for the brain and acts in many ways like a drug. With prolonged exposure, your tolerance is increased, and many often find themselves addicted. Though it's not a physical substance, it leads to the same general loss of control, the compulsiveness to seek out the activity despite negative consequences, and withdrawal when it goes away, much like that of gambling or running, for example. The issue is that continued exposure can cause long-term or even lifelong neuroplastic change in the brain. Dopamine is released as a reward whenever we accomplish something, whether it be eating to sustain life or sexual activity to produce future life. And this dopamine consolidates neural connections in order to drive us to perform the same activity in the future. In other words, it alters and forms the brain cells to motivate certain actions. It rewires your brain. The National Institutes of Health measure drug addictiveness by testing rats. The rat is trained to press a button in order to get a drug, and the harder it works indicates how addictive the substance is. It turns out that the more addictive a drug is, the more dopamine we see released. And while there is, unfortunately, no rat porn that we can give to them, we do know that dopamine is also released during sexual excitement, which pornography plays right into. The more time you spend doing it, the more dopamine gets released, which reinforces the behavior and makes you not only desire it in the future, but require it. And as you begin to imagine these images away from the computer or while having sex, they become reinforced. Furthermore, each orgasm releases even more dopamine, which consolidates the connections made during the session. It's a feedback loop that becomes harder to escape. And just like a drug, your tolerance for visual stimulation has now compounded, making it more difficult to be turned on by reality. Pornography addiction can often lead to finding your mate less attractive. The good news is, it doesn't have to be permanent. Usually when people understand the mechanism and realize it's affecting their relationships, they can stop. The brain is often described as a use-it-or-lose-it system because the neural connections you stimulate grow stronger and desire to be activated, while the ones you ignore become weakened. Much like your muscles, which, if sitting still all day, itch for activity, but after prolonged non-use, they become complacent. Luckily, because of this use-it-or-lose-it brain, the same neuroplastic system that proliferates these habits can also be used to acquire healthier ones. Got a burning question you want?
All right. So there's your education on the brain science behind pornography. So again, these neurons are connected through dopamine hits, right? And so that's where we're going to talk about dopamine. Dopamine is that feel-good thing that your brain gives you, right? You go for a run, you feel good, right? Maybe not during the run, but after, and you're like, ah. Or you eat some chocolate, you get a dopamine hit. You watch something, right? You get a notification on your phone from Instagram, you get a dopamine hit. You're like, ooh, cool, somebody likes me, right? And so all of these are to keep doing it, right? And same as porn, but it's a dangerous way of doing it, right? Because sex is, again, a bonding agent that God has given us. But in the wrong context, it doesn't really
answer.
Work. Whoop, there we go. It's kind of like this, if you think about this. So if God's design for sexuality is the sidewalk, right? Sometimes we short-sight that, right? And we make our own path. And that can take time to wear out the grass. Now, here's the good news, is that if you step away from porn and you go back to just using the cyborg again, that will grow back, right? And so it's, again, the use it or lose it. And we'll talk more about that, too, when it comes to it. Because if you can take day by day by day and you're struggling and you just take one day at a time, after a certain amount of days, it gets less hard, right? It gets, that addiction starts to wean itself a little bit. So we'll talk about the hope that comes with addiction. So here's my question for you. You might be thinking there, well, I don't know. I don't really struggle with porn that much. I mean, I maybe watch it a little bit, but it's not really that big a deal or that big of an issue in my life. Well, here's a couple questions just to ask yourself. Number one, do I look at porn or suggestive photos on your phone, right? That could be Instagram. That could just be, bathing suit pictures of some girl that you follow or whatever it might be, right? It doesn't have to be naked pictures, just something that maybe turns you on and causes lust in some way. Do you get turned on by romantic novels? It doesn't even have to be pictures, right? A couple years ago, there was this fad of 50 Shades of Grey. It was a novel out series out there, right? It was called Mommy Porn because, you know, moms would read this and be like, ooh, whoa. And again, get turned on through the reading of this and get the visuals within their head, maybe not through their eyes, but through their brain, right? So that can be part of it. Have you ever felt guilt or shame over masturbating? That's a big part of it too. And then have you ever tried to stop and couldn't, right? You feel really bad and you're like, oh, okay, I'm not going to ever do this again. And then 3 days later, you do it again, right? And you feel guilt and shame, and the pattern continues and continues, and maybe it intensifies, whatever. And so that is a struggle. And so we'll talk about that. So if that's you, you're at the right place. We're going to talk about that. So let's talk about the stages real quick before we get into practical. The stages are this, right? There's five stages. Number one, you just view it, right? You view it, all right? It doesn't have to necessarily be bad if you view it. But again, the next ones are, it is bad. I'm saying it's not necessarily addictive yet. Until this step, right? When it becomes an addiction and you need it again, right? That's where it starts to get really dangerous. Then it escalates, right? I mean, it gets worse and worse, meaning you need something stronger. You heard that in the video, right? And something no longer does it for you, so you need something even stronger or more hardcore, right? And eventually you're like, oh, how did I get to this place, right? And then you get desensitized to it, right? And this is very dangerous because this could mean that it's just not a big deal to you, right? And I've known guys that watch porn at work, right? While they're talking to somebody on the other side of the computer, right? And they're just desensitized to it. It's not a big deal. And it's just kind of something they do, right? And that can feel really just gross, right? And then the last one is this. You act out sexually, meaning, and I'll talk more, I'll get some case studies and some stories about this, but it could be, you know, asking for nudes from somebody that you know. It could be rape. It could be, you know, anything where you have power over someone because, again, porn doesn't view someone as a human being. It sees them as an object to satisfy my desires, right? And that's not what God calls us to, right? He calls us to mutually love and respect one another, and porn is just the opposite of that, right? So we'll look at this. Here are some of the addiction kind of symptoms, right? Just I want to give you a lot of heavy stuff, and then we'll get to the good stuff, right? We'll get to how do we really deal with this. But some of the things that the addiction can cause, divorce is a big part of this. And I've known couples before where the guy's looking at porn, the spouse catches him, and they have some issues, right? Because now you're comparing me to this other person, or, you know, I feel inferior to what you're watching, that kind of thing. Infidelity, cheating, because if you're already looking at these other images, well, and you need something more, escalate, well, I might as well just sleep with my coworker or my neighbor or whatever that might be, right? So cheating and infidelity, relationship breaking up, that kind of thing. Here's some big ones, too. Make you prefer fantasy to reality, right? Because that's all porn is. It's a big fantasy. It's not reality. Normalized behaviors you thought were wrong before. Dissatisfaction, shame and guilt. Here's big ones. Mess up your sex life, right? Lead to actual addiction. We've talked about that. What about this one? It could cause you to experience erectile dysfunction at age 24, right? There's a reason we see so many commercials for Viagra and all those, you know, sex-enhancing drugs. Because there's so many guys that are struggling to get erections because of porn, right? They need something stronger in their life to keep going and going, that escalation that we talked about. So so that can be scary too, right? And then the last one is, I think, a really big one. As we talk about, you know, in all things that God calls all people and that we are all human beings created in the image of God, that it can cause us to see them as objects and not as people created by God, right? So that's huge. I want to give you three quick stories or case studies. The first is this. In the Philippines, remember we talked about that? They were in the top 10 of porn use. But the Philippines is a really small country, right? Way smaller than the U.S., way smaller in population. They actually encourage their young boys to view porn, right? It's encouraged there, right? To keep them busy, to, you know, whatever. They actually think that if they give their boys pornography, that it'll keep them from other behaviors, other things. But here's what they found out. They found it's the number one porn rate per capita, like per, it's small, but more people are viewing it as the, but here's the things that went way up because of that. Teen pregnancy, premarital sex, rape, sex violence, sex trafficking, all because this awakened a sexual desire in these young boys, right, that were viewing porn. So number one, it's not healthy. It doesn't help curb other things. It actually makes it worse, right? Case study number two is this. In Japan, you saw that, they were number two off the list, right behind the U.S. They are having a big problem because the guys don't want to get married. You know why? They're satisfied looking at porn. They don't need a woman to fulfill their desires or to connection. They don't know how to talk to women, right? Because they've been isolated themselves. So they're not getting married. So their population's going down because they're not having babies. They're not, you know, connecting. So their country's actually shrinking. So because of pornography among young men there. And then the last case study I want to give you is this. Ted Bundy, he was a serial killer back in the 1970s. He did an interview with James Dobson. And he actually attributed, he did these horrific murders to young girls and others. And he actually said that what led him to commit these serial murders was his porn addiction when he was younger. Because, again, it desensitized him, it caused him to act out sexually, and it saw human beings not as human beings, but as objects, right? That I could kill and control, right? Now, here's what I'm saying, here's what I'm not saying. You may not become a serial killer, all right? Now, that's kind of the extreme case, right? But porn can lead to greater entitlement. You feel entitled to get what you want, do that kind of thing. Unrealistic fantasy, right? You can never fulfill that fantasy. And a decreased lack of relational health. Your relationships will go down because of that. Your marriages will go, like, not be as satisfying with porn. Your boyfriend-girlfriend relationships that way, too. So what are we going to do with this, right? I want to ask you this question. And this is a question Jesus asked. And in the book of John, John chapter 5, there's this guy, he's an invalid, he can't physically walk, but he's struggling, and there's this pool called the Pool of Bethesda, right? And this pool was believed to have, like, healing powers, and so every morning, like at sunrise, they would rush down to get healing powers from this, right? And this guy could never make it because everybody rushed there before him, and so he was stuck. So Jesus comes over to him and says, "Do you want to get well?" Right? Because I'll tell you this, you know, and he heals them. But I want to tell you this, there's guys out there that I've talked to, they don't want to get well, right? They're like, it's not really that big a deal. It's not really that big issue, right? I'm managing it just fine, that kind of thing. But Jesus says, no, if you want to get well, you have to do something different, right? And you have to put your trust in Jesus that he can heal you. And so that's my question for you. Do you want to get well? And if so, well, then the rest of this presentation is for you, all right? I want to give you the top six ways to deal with porn addiction, all right? Top six. Here we go. Before we get to that, though, I want to show you this kind of little pie graph. And with any addiction, with anything you're dealing with in life, there's always systems at work, right? Your relationship with God, your relationship with yourself, your relationship with mentors, and then with your peers or your friends, right? And as we talk about these, I want you to keep this in mind, that in order to find true healing, you have to find relationship fulfillment in all four of these quadrants, right? You have to be able to see that God can work through these and not just work on one, because if you just work on one of these, well, it's going to manifest itself in other ways. So we'll talk about this through our different six steps. But here's the first one. Flee. All right, in the book of Corinthians, Paul talks about this. He says, flee from all sexual immorality. All right? What does flee mean? Not like the animal flee, but like, right? It means get away, run, right? So if I am like walking and there's a guy chasing me, do I just kind of be like, oh, that's cool, he's chasing me? No, I'm going to run. I'm going to flee. Same thing with temptation, addiction. If it's coming at me and I'm thinking about it, I got to get away. So what does that mean like practically? If you're sitting on your couch or in your bedroom, right, and you're on your bed and all of a sudden, you know, this thought comes to your mind or you see this image and you start feeling a certain way, flee. Go for a walk. Go for a drive. Put your phone away. Turn your phone off. Go talk to a family member. Do something different than what you're doing right now, because what you're doing right now won't work. It's going to, if you just say, ah, it's okay. No, the more you think on it, the more you're just, you know, it'll go away eventually. No, it won't. You got to go do something else. Flee, run. And here's the good news. Like I told you, use it or lose it with your brain. This is per day of being porn free, right? 100% day zero or one, right? And every day it gets a little bit better. In addiction ministry, in AA or some of those things, they always tell you, take one day at a time. Take one day at a time. Because that's all you can do. Take one day at a time. And here's the thing. One day at a time, it gets a little bit easier, a little bit easier, right? So set that goal. They say that it's about 90 days to fully get rid of that, right? So about 3 months. If you can be porn free for 3 months, chances are you will struggle. It won't have the same effect on you, right? You might still think about it, but you won't engage. You won't have those feelings. You won't have the brain science again, the neurons connection. Those will heal themselves. So that's good news, right? That is good news. God has created us to be healed, to be renewed in all things, right? So so number five then, we're going to go backwards. 6 to 5 is be transparent. Be transparent. Romans says this. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So all have sinned, meaning we all have baggage. We all have junk in our lives, right? We all have sinned. So therefore, if you go to your youth leader or you go to your pastor or your, you know, your group leader and you tell them something that you're struggling with, they're probably not going to go, what? No, they're probably going to go, oh, really? Okay. Let's talk about this. You know, they're going to have compassion because they know they struggle too. They have issues. Man, I talked to a lot of church workers too. Church workers struggle with pornography, right? One of the stats they did one time, this is a couple years ago, like 10, 15 years ago, was that in hotels with like where you could rent pornographic movies, that one of the highest concentration of rentals was with the church worker groups. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. I'm not saying your pastor's really dealing with that. Some are, but again, that it affects everyone. Everyone has baggage. Be transparent, right? Be transparent. And here's the thing, is the more you're transparent, the more the power is taken away from that, right? Have you ever, you know, you've had that lie that you've been telling and finally you tell someone, you're like, oh, I feel so much better, right? Because it takes the power away from it, right? So the more we can be transparent with other people in our life, the better. So I encourage you, if you're wrestling, talk to your adult leader tonight. You know, get some help. Find an ongoing thing, that kind of stuff. Be brutally honest with someone. Again, details they are not going to be surprised. They're not going to be surprised. All right, that's five. Number four. Well, it's what was six? See if you're paying attention. Flee. There you go. Be transparent. Number four is this. Be committed. Be committed. Back when I used to work in Arizona, we would take every summer our trip of junior hires, our group of junior hires, up to Colorado. And, yeah, Colorado. We would go to, what was it? Durango. And we would go to Durango, and we would whitewater raft. And here's the thing they told us, is that when you're whitewater rafting, is that when you're going through a tough rapid, should you just stop and just be like, and freak out? No, they say that's when you really have to paddle and you be committed, right? Because if you don't, that's when you're going to flip over. That's when you're going to spin around, anything like that. But they say through the hardest times, be committed, keep paddling with your group, right? And it seems kind of countercultural. You're like, no, this is my time. I need to freak out. No, just keep going. It'll be working. It'll work. Be committed. And so what does that mean? The verse here from Romans says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What does that mean? be willing to do something different. If what you're doing right now with your addiction isn't working, do something different. If you go to bed with your phone next to you as like an alarm or whatever, and you say, oh, I need this, but you wake up in the middle of the night and you're tempted and you look at some porn, well, don't do that, right? Put the phone in the kitchen, turn it off, give it to your parents, do something different, right? We'll talk about different softwares you could maybe put or apps you can install on your phone that would help with that too. But yeah, do something different. So think about maybe what triggers it. Is it when you're tired? You're like, ah, I'm just so tired. I just need that release. Or maybe it's when you're hungry. Or maybe it's when you're sad and lonely, right? Whatever that is, know your triggers so you can work on that and find that, okay, this is my time, I'm vulnerable. Maybe I need to talk to somebody about this, right? So be committed to the process. It's a process. Again, I love this. In the book of Job, in the Old Testament, he says this. If you know the story of Job, he was God took pretty much everything from him as a test, right? And he stayed faithful. And this is one of his lines in Job 31. I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look at a woman lustfully. Even through the midst of all those hard times, he still had integrity. He still was trying to honor God with his body. But here's the thing I would say. It's not just about our eyes. It's probably more about our hearts, right? That, yeah, we could take all the porn away and never look. Or we could, as Jesus said, gouge your eyes out, right, and go blind. You would still struggle because porn originates really in your heart. And that's what he's saying there too. So what does that look like? Fight lust, not just porn. So get to the symptom of being committed there. So here's some symptoms, though, because when you withdraw from any drug, porn also, here's some things that can happen, right? In those 90 days, mood swings, insomnia, you can't sleep, social anxiety, headaches, you're irritable, you're cranky, you're anxious, depressed, intrusive thoughts because, you know, it keeps coming back and battling at you. You get really tired, those kinds of things, right? So know that to expect that can be really, really tough. But again, every day, one day at a time, it will get better. It will get better. So, all right, number three, be accountable. Be accountable. Find somebody that will help you. Again, you've already been transparent with somebody, and now maybe say, maybe it's your pastor, maybe it's your leader, whatever. Hey, can you check in with me once a week and just see how I'm doing? And be honest with them, right? Be brutally honest. Maybe it's getting some software, and I'll give you some options there. What does that look like? The verse here I love, it says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for those who are in need, right? I feel like prayer is a great thing that we can do for one another. Here's one of the things I learned later on in life, I wish I would have learned it earlier, is that when somebody comes to you and says, hey, I'm struggling with this, and you say, oh, I'll pray for you, and you just say that and never do it, no, stop right there and say, can I pray for you right now? And then pray for them. Like, that can be very, very powerful. Because oftentimes, I know, I always forgot. Like, I say, I'll pray for you. I go and I do my own thing and get busy again, right? So pray for them. Be accountable and have that person that you can be honest with, right? I've got some guys, current college students, former college students that I still meet with, talk with. They email with me or we'll get on the Zoom together and we'll talk about our struggles. We'll talk about things. They'll say, yeah, I had a bad week, you know, and I'll give them grace. I'll give them hope. I'll give them kind of some things. And so that kind of thing. Yeah. Here's some of these sites that I was talking about. Triple X Church is a great one. Safe Eyes, Covenant Eyes, Freedom Begins Here. Fight the New Drug actually has some great articles too. If you want to read some great articles, Fight the New Drug. Ever Accountable to You. Celebrate Recovery is a program that churches in your area probably host, but it's a 12-step program. You can go at any age, but it's a great thing to do where they'll walk you through how to deal with any kind of addiction or hurt or hang-up. And then Sexaholics Anonymous, a 12-step program. If it's really bad, one of my guys, he's been through that program, and he swears by it. He's like, you have to do that if you're really struggling. Go to one of those 12-step programs because they know what they're doing and they know how to really deal with that. But people often ask me, well, which one's the best? Well, some are free, some cost money. You get what you pay for. So I would encourage this one, Accountable to You. It costs a little bit, like $10 a month, but it's great. Like my guys, it'll send a text message or an email update every day and say, here's kind of the sites they were looking at, and it'll send me a text right away if it's something questionable. Actually, this last week, one of my guys, I got a text, and it was something about, it was through email, and he was like, yeah, there's something I need to tell you about my past and sexually and all that, and he was just going to tell about his struggle with porn to this person he met online, but it flagged it because it had the word sex in there, and so I just texted him right, everything okay? He's like, oh, yeah, it's good, I'm just on a dating profile. Cool dude. Awesome. Keep going. So yeah. But yeah, I highly recommend that. Find someone you trust who would get those notifications. That's huge, huge. And you can put it on your computer, on your phones, iPad, whatever it might be for you. So yeah. And again, there's always ways to like get around this. And again, do you want to get well? That's that question. Do you want to get well? And that's really what we're looking at. So number two is this, pray. Wait, let's recap. Number six was flee. Number five was be transparent. Number four was be committed. Number three was be accountable. Number two is pray. Yeah, I love this verse. This verse in Philippians says this, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, present your requests to God. And this is my favorite part. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You've probably heard that maybe after a message or a sermon, right? But I love that verse because it's saying when we pray, God gives us the peace to protect our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. That's pretty amazing. Prayer is powerful. Have other people pray for you. You can pray when you're tempted, those kinds of things. I want to show you a video. This is one of my former students. He's here at National Youth Gathering. I asked him yesterday, I'm like, hey, are you cool if I share your name? Or he's like, yeah, share it all. I don't really care. But he works at a church. He still struggles with pornography at times. His name's Nathan, but he's a church worker. He works in youth ministry. But he's going to give you guys his top three ways that have helped him deal with pornography. So check this out.
Three things that have been absolutely critical for me overcoming and fighting against pornography in addition to porn. Number one, the Holy Spirit, the actual like power of God, His Spirit. Plenty of people have overcome porn without being Christian. I'm not saying you have to be a Christian to do this, but if you can have the power of Almighty God on your side, who's able to do immeasurably more than we can think or imagine, why wouldn't you want Him? So you need the Holy Spirit. Number two, prayer, daily prayer. Specifically, don't think of how can I overcome this for the next month, year, decade. Just think in terms of days. Every day you wake up, pray a prayer and say, Holy Spirit, I need your power today, Tuesday, to break porn in my life. And number three, you need accountability, specifically technology. Get Covenant Eyes, get accountable to you, get some kind of accountability software that monitors all your internet activity, and then have brothers or sisters, if you're a lady, join and watch so that they can see everything that you're looking at so you can remain accountable to them. They can call you out, they can check up on you, and just make sure you're looking at what you need to look at.
Yeah, well, give it up for Nathan. That was cool, yeah. So, yeah. All right, I got one more for you, one more. And all right, recap real quick. I want you to have these in there, right? Number six was? Flee. Number five? Be transparent. Number four? Be committed. Number three? Be accountable. Number two? Pray. And number one is this, experience grace. Experience God's grace. Here's the thing. There's a lot of guilt and shame that come over when we sin, right? When we mess up. But I hope you experience that grace here at this conference. I hope that you understand how much God loves you and how many chances He gives you. There's this great verse in Romans. It says this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, here's why I love this verse. It doesn't say, when we got our stuff together, then Christ will die for us, right? Or when we're good enough, then Jesus will die for us. No, it says, while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. In the midst of our sinning, Jesus died for us, right? When you're engaging in pornography, Jesus died for you and loves you, right? And that's the beauty of grace. C.S. Lewis, great author, says these two things, that Satan's job is really twofold. Number one, to make you feel so bad about yourself that you feel like you can't experience God's grace, right? Or number two, to make you feel so good about yourself that you feel like you don't need God, right? And you can do it on your own. And that's a very dangerous, you know, either side to live on. But living on the middle of that, of saying, yeah, I'm broken, I need Jesus. And he comes to give you that peace that surpasses all understanding. That he wants to give you forgiveness and grace. And I'll tell you, the guys that have dealt with, that they've talked with and mentored with, that deal with porn, they have messed up. They have messed up. But again, there's grace and there's new beginnings, right? And so they start fresh day one, and they do it again, day by day, and it is possible. It is possible. So I want to give you that hope, because this is an addiction that can be broken. Again, with most addictions, they never go away your whole life. Somebody once told me, you know, when I get married, it'll all be good, because then I'll have my wife, and I won't have to deal with this anymore. Nope. Still struggle, right? You will struggle your entire life with this. So again, I am glad you're here to talk about this, that you can start getting a handle on this, because again, this is something that will be with you for your life. You will always lust and have those temptations and thoughts in your life. So again, experience God's grace. So really, that's all I have. If you have questions, I'll be up here in the front. There's another session coming up soon, but we might have to move the hallway. But I'd love to talk to you. Or else, if you want to email me, there's my email. Take a picture of that. Or I'd love the evaluation. Do the QR code thingy. Thanks, guys.